Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go into the weekend with one more good show. It's your Yahoo Sports Canada Daily Podcast for Friday, November 15th. But first, sports. Good morning, Canada. We made it to Friday again, and there is a lot talk about. I'll be talking with Vivek Jacob here just in a minute about some big time happenings around the NBA. Maple Leafs GM Kyle Dubas had an impromptu media scrum to address the many, many questions people have having about the team. Connor McDavid went off in a big way. We had a lot of hockey news last night, actually. And we know who the MLB MVPs are and more. Lots to tackle. Let's get right to it. Up first, Pascal Siakam. His latest dominating performance against the Portland Trailblazers on Wednesday had people talking. Yesterday, the reigning most improved player was really the topic of conversation for most of the day on Thursday. John Hollinger at The Athletic had a really lengthy look into Siakam's start to the season, and Pascal has really improved more from last year to this year than he had from the year before that, which is crazy to think of because he won the most improved player, but he is better in basically every way than he was last year. He's up 10 points per game. He's up 2.5 rebounds per game. He's making an extra 1.3 three-pointers. He has a higher assist percentage, higher usage, and higher PER. He's better at absolutely everything than he was in his breakout year, which was last year. And now people are starting to wonder, what exactly is the ceiling for this dude? I mean, two seasons ago, he was averaging 7 points per game. Seven. He has upped his scoring by 20 points in two seasons. Just unfathomable growth. He is 25 years old. You probably heard it by now. He just picked up the game of basketball very, very late in comparison to your normal AAU super prospect development curve. It's astounding. And this comes off a season, of course, as you know, if you're listening to this, the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship, and Siakam in the playoffs, he averaged 19 points per game. And that is where we saw him last before this season's big jump. Vivek, where is Siakam's game now compared to where he was at the end of the championship run?
So at the end of last season's championship run, he looked like someone that could be the second best player on a championship team, because that's effectively what he did. He was amazing in a complimentary role to Kawhi Leonard. And while Kyle Lowry also looked like the second most important player on the team, some would argue even the most important player of the team because of what he does all around, Siakam, his ability to score the ball, his ability to defend multiple positions, that's what made him look like one of the most appealing young players in the game. That's what won him the most improved player award. So the challenge this year was to show that he could be the man. And so far, he is delivering on that front as well. That is pretty much the most difficult leap to make. And the fact that he's already shown in 11 games that he can do that is incredible. For him to just shoot the three ball the way he has off the dribble, that's the biggest difference. There are guys who can catch and shoot, have a high percentage as a standstill shooter, but for him to be able to do it off the dribble, that's what's a game changer for him. That's what's allowed him, in my opinion, to take that leap. I was just thinking over the past week, when you think about the best players in the Eastern Conference, I'm not even going to look into the league right now. When you look at just the East, of course, Giannis is the number one. You have to give him that respect as the reigning MVP. Joel Embiid will be right there. Jimmy Butler, to me, would then be the third best player. But after that, I think it's actually pretty open between him, between Kyrie. We'll have to see where Oladipo is at when he comes back. So that's the level he's elevated himself to.
There was other NBA news, as there always is, bouncing all over the timeline last night. Melo is back. The Portland Trail Blazers, who are off to a very, very rough start to the year. They're 4-8 and near the bottom of the conference. They signed Carmelo Anthony to a deal. We last saw Melo for 10 games with the Rockets last season. He averaged just under 13.5 points in about 30 minutes per game in that very, very short stint. Your classic high-volume, low-efficiency style that we all grew to understand is Melo's game. He's now 35 years old, more than a year removed from his last competitive game. I know the Blazers have struggled out of the gate, but what can we realistically expect in terms of impact from him on this team right now?
The Carmelo Anthony I expect to see is the Carmelo Anthony that has shown that he's not really willing to change. When you look at why teams haven't been willing to sign him, when you look at why he's struggled over the last few years of his career, it's almost Allen Iverson-like in the latter stages of his career, where he just couldn't accept not being a superstar in the league anymore. And he wanted, you know, some kind of role that at least catered to his ego. And now, you know, we'll see with Portland where he's at. But until he shows that he can change, I think there's too much evidence to the contrary to prove otherwise. So I think he's going to go out and look to get buckets and have the same mid-range pull-up twos and whatnot. So, yeah, till he shows me otherwise, I'm not really willing to buy into the hype of what Melo can add to an NBA team at this point in his career.
Melo, not the only star making news with a return last night, a much more recent and much more in their prime star, though, in this other sort of example. Paul George finally made his debut with the Los Angeles Clippers last night. He led the team in scoring. He had 33. He added 9 boards and 4 assists in 29 minutes. Kawhi missed this one with the new term for load management, which is left knee injury management. And we know that PG is a big part of the recruiting pitch to get Kawhi to come to the Clippers in the first place. That was his first appearance of the season in a game. What did you see from George, and what does his presence bring to the Clippers now that he is stepping into lineups?
Right off the bat, it looks like he has the confidence, which is the most important thing. Didn't really seem to be hindered by anything from the surgeries, and that's the most encouraging sign. You expect him to pull off his moves, and the 5 fouls that he had, I think that you associate more with timing and just fatigue and, you know, just needing to get some run. So those are things you don't really worry about. For him to score 33 in, what was it, 26 minutes, I think that really stands out. And that's what you want if you're Kawhi Leonard. You want someone that can take the pressure off, that can help manage the load in games. And so I think those two look to be the most dynamic duo, the best duo in the league at full health. And frankly, with what the Clippers have shown so far, I expect them to be the best team in the West going forward.
The Raptors close out their successful 5-game homestand on Saturday against the Dallas Mavericks. OG Anunoby expected to return to action in that one, probably wearing glasses. Going to be a good one. Luka Doncic, that's going to be a good game. Surprise, surprise, yesterday there was Maple Leafs news. There's always Maple Leafs news. GM Kyle Dubas had a little impromptu media session with the media on Thursday morning, answering many, many, many questions that people have been asking about this team lately. He talked positively about Cody Ceci.
I think it goes back to the war between data and subjective scouting. He seems to be a very polarizing player, but I think, and so it's been interesting, even when everything underlying about him has been relatively solid, especially when you consider his usage, there seems to be every tiny thing that he does becomes a referendum on whether he's good or not, which is mind-boggling to me, because if that would have been done by subjective-oriented hockey people in the past, the objective, people would have jumped all over it. Now the inverse seems to be happening, and it's Cody that seems to be the player that it's happening about. And I think, you know, every defenseman that plays that much and plays in that role is going to have mistakes.
As well, Dubas defended the first 20 games from Tyson Barrie. He gave a vote of confidence to the new backup goalie, Kazimir Kaskisuo, and basically laid out the idea that the team has not quite found their identity this season. And as for what he wants that identity to be, he said they are building towards being a team built on speed, talent, creativity, and also tenacity without the puck. Definitely not a finished product by any stretch, and yeah, no kidding. And there was no budging. He didn't throw any of the coaching staff or players or anyone under the bus. But the very fact that the GM is holding a press conference 20 games into the season tells you the team is well aware of the buzz building about what kind of trouble they may be in early in the season. Speaking of Maple Leafs in trouble, that disorderly conduct charge against Austin Matthews from the summer has been dismissed. According to the Toronto Star, both sides came to an agreement outside of court. And that puts an end to that matter. Really, no punishment for Matthews for his antics outside of, what he got, like two moderately bad days of press. That was about it. He more or less gets by without any real punishment here. The Maple Leafs back at it. Yet another back-to-back on Friday against the Boston Bruins and Saturday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Speaking of those Penguins, they'll be without Sidney Crosby for that game as well as many games. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks. He had core muscle surgery, possibly related to a sports hernia he'd been dealing with in training camp. 6 weeks, if you do the math here, that takes you up until about Christmas. So we may not be seeing Sid the Kid until 2020. Also on the ice last night, Connor McDavid, a six-point night for the Oilers. They won 6-2 over the Avs. McDavid involved on every goal, as he often is. He actually had the six midway through the second. He had 4 points in the first period. It looked like, for a minute there, he was chasing down Daryl Sittler's record of 10 points in a single game, but we will have to settle for a ho-hum three-goal, three-assist night from Connor. There was some very serious, very scary news on the ice as well. Calgary Flames defenseman TJ Brody collapsed during practice. He was going into seizures on the ice. He was stretchered off. Horrifying, harrowing scene. He was taken to a local hospital and dispatched, which ended with a positive result. He seems to be okay now. We'll have more on that throughout the day today and throughout the weekend. We are wishing TJ Brody and the Calgary Flames nothing but good vibes from all of this. Not something you ever want to see or hear about. Hopefully, he is okay. Finally, some very fast baseball stuff here. Mike Trout, your American League MVP for the third time. Cody Bellinger, National League MVP. And a pair of players who may have been Blue Jays targets, pitcher Jaco DeRizzi and first baseman Jose Abreu, they both accepted the qualifying offer. They're going to go back to their respective teams on one-year deals. They will not become free agents. So scratch those two names off your list of the Blue Jays shopping options. And that's all for today, and that's all for this week. The weekend is right around the corner. You made it. There's plenty to watch, plenty to talk about. Raptors are in Dallas, as I said, taking on Luka and the Mavs, while the Maple Leafs are back-to-back against the Bruins and the Penguins, plus much, much more, as there always is on any weekend in sports. I'll be right back here on Monday morning to talk to you about all of it, and I'll catch you up on anything you may have missed or want to know more about, and hopefully you'll join me. Until then, enjoy your Friday and enjoy your weekend.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.